Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we're going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Thank you for our first article is entitled Queen Creek's Primary Property Tax Rate Drops Again. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent June 5, 2025 and written by Janet Perez. The Queen Creek Town Council has unanimously voted to cut the primary property tax rate as the town approaches the third year of a tax freeze. For the next fiscal year, the primary property tax rate has been dropped from $1.63 to $1.55 per $100 of assessed value. This is something that we have really fine-tuned over the last few years to be able to do this for our residents, to be able to offer great services and amenities and continue to do so, Mayor Julia Wheatley said during the Wednesday meeting. And while the cost of everything else is escalating, to be able to offer a lower property tax rate is really remarkable, and it's not something you see that's common in other municipalities at all. So I'm very proud of the work we do here as a council and being fiscally responsible in our decisions throughout the year so that we can continue to pass this savings on to our residents. Queen Creek residents of a home with a median assessed value of $265,000 will continue to pay property taxes of $434 as they have since the freeze started. Those residents will save $166 in the fifth year of the freeze and a total of $557 overall 5 years. This coming fiscal year, property tax revenue on existing homes is forecast to bring the town $13.9 million, up from $13.3 million in the current fiscal year. New construction will bring the town $900,000 in additional property tax dollars, up from $600,000 in the current fiscal year, for a total of $14.8 million. The money helps to fund public safety services. For the upcoming fiscal year, the total assessed value of all property in the town, residential, commercial, and vacant agricultural, is $956.5 million, up from $853.3 million, or 12% this current year. Residential property accounts for 84% of the total assessed value. It grows in two ways. It grows because the existing properties increased by the 5%, and then it also grows for all the new things that were built and came on tax rolls for this particular year, said Deputy Town Manager Scott McCarty. It could be new homes. It could be new businesses. In November 2022, the council voted to freeze the primary property tax amount paid by homeowners for 5 years, meaning even when the median assessed value of a home increases, residents will pay the same tax as they did the previous year. This in turn will continue to lower the property tax rate each year. By the end of the 5-year freeze, the property tax rate will have fallen to $1.40 per $100 assessed value. Broken down by county, the property tax rate will raise an estimated $12.3 million from Queen Creek residents in Maricopa County and another $2.5 million from Queen Creek residents living in Pinal County. In May 2007, Queen Creek voters approved a property tax measure to fund public safety with the rate not to exceed $1.95 per $100 of assessed valuation. If we didn't do the freeze and if we had the rate at the $1.95, property taxes would be $3.8 million higher than what's recommended tonight, McCarty said. If you jump ahead to the fifth year, they would be $6.4 million higher in that fifth year. Then if you added up the 5 years since we did the freeze, the cumulative amount taxpayers would have paid is $19.7 million higher if you didn't have the freeze in effect. The new fiscal year starts on July 1st. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Fire Partners with Group for Water Drive. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent June 6, 2025. No author is listed. As temperatures rise, the Queen Creek Fire and Medical Department, in partnership with For Our Town, is hosting a bottled water drive to provide needed hydration to those most at risk during the extreme heat. Queen Creek Fire Station 1, located at 20678 Civic Parkway, will serve as the donation drop-off location, with QCFMD distributing water bottles to individuals in need, according to a town press release. The goal is to collect 250 cases of bottled water during the drive. For Our Town is a community initiative that brings together nonprofits, faith-based organizations, businesses, and schools to tackle Queen Creek's most pressing issues. It is a partnership between the Queen Creek Chamber of Commerce and the Town of Queen Creek. The Center for Disease Control, CDC, and Prevention provides tips for preventing heat-related illnesses. Drink plenty of fluids and don't wait until you're thirsty to drink water. Avoid liquids that cause you to lose more body fluids, such as alcoholic and sugary drinks. Stay indoors if possible. Wear lightweight, light-colored, loose-fitting clothing. Limit outdoor activity to morning and evening hours. If you must be outdoors, rest often in a shady area. Protect yourself from the sun by wearing a wide-brimmed hat, sunglasses, and plenty of sunscreen. Children and pets should never be left alone in a vehicle, especially during the summer months. The, quote, look before you lock, end quote, campaign serves as a reminder of the dangers of a hot vehicle. The Humane Society provides the following tips for keeping pets safe in the heat. Keep pets indoors when possible. Limit outdoor exercise to early morning or evening. Avoid long walks, hikes, and excessive play. Provide pets with extra cool water sources. Consider dog booties for hot pavement. This is also the time of year when cooling off in the pool becomes more popular. Always practice the ABCDs of water safety: adult supervision, barriers between children and water, classes in CPR and swim lessons, devices near water, including rescue rings, hooks, and life jackets. For more safety tips, visit queencreekaz.gov/safety-tips. End of story. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Council Approves Deals with Economic Development Groups. Council member Travis Padilla voices opposition. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, June 7, 2025, and written by Janet Perez. A Queen Creek council member challenged a series of expenditures related to agreements with economic development groups and parks and recreation. At its Wednesday meeting, the council took on a lengthy consent agenda where routine annual budget expenditures were approved. The items were included in the $627.7 million 2025-26 fiscal year budget, unanimously approved by the council on May 21st. Once the overall budget is approved, individual expenditures must still go before the council for approval. Items on the consent agenda are dealt with by one motion and vote unless they are pulled out for a separate discussion and vote by a councilor or staff member. Council member Travis Padilla pulled the following consent agenda items for a separate vote: $75,000 for a service and license agreement between the Queen Creek Chamber of Commerce and the town, $135,000 for an agreement between the Queen Creek Cultural Foundation and the town, $40,047 for an agreement between the Greater Phoenix Economic Council and the town, $50,000 additional spending authority for Parks and Recreation to purchase outdoor furniture, $49,000 in annual membership dues for the League of Arizona Cities and Towns, $36,000 to Capital Edge for Government Relations Services, $70,000 to Kutak Rock for Government Regulation Services, $120,000 for arena sand for equine events at Horseshoe Park and Equestrian Center, $191,500 for wood shavings for horse bedding at Horseshoe Park and Equestrian Center. $160,000 for temporary labor services for Horseshoe Park and Equestrian Center and Parks and Recreation. $125,000 for pool chemicals and supplies. Just in general, to sum them up, economic development and government relations are items that I do not feel should be supported by any government. I think they're all worthy causes, but there's lines of what the proper role of government is, and I do not believe that it fails within that, Padilla said. A lot of these items I would support individually, but would not compel other residents to do the same, and for that reason, I'll be voting no on them. Councilmember Brian McClure supported the agreements, adding that they allowed the town to, quote, fight above its weight class, end quote. They add so much value to our community, and I really feel that what they do would be impossible without our support. And so I just wanted to share that I'm happy to vote yes, McClure said. The final vote on the items was 5-1. Vice Mayor Leah Martineau had called in the meeting, but the call dropped before the vote. Along with opposing agreements between the town and economic development and government relations groups and businesses, Padilla has also been critical of the money the town spends on parks and recreation facilities and services. Over the last decade, we've spent close to $300 million on parks while spending $400 million on transportation, that being a ratio of approximately 75 cents spent on parks for every dollar spent on transportation, Padilla said during the May 21st budget vote. I would like to see that number come down for parks and more money put into transportation, as I believe that is the number one priority that we have as a council and the number one priority that our residents have. End of story. Please send your comments about this article to azopinions@iniusa.org. We are committed to publishing a wide variety of reader opinions as long as they meet our civility guidelines. Janet Perez can be reached at jperez@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Chamber Gears Up for Restaurant Week. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, May 29, 2025. No author is listed. Queen Creek Restaurant Week returns for a second year in August. Hosted by the Queen Creek Chamber of Commerce, Queen Creek Restaurant Week is set to take place August 18th through the 24th. Quote, last year, over 20 restaurants participated in our inaugural Restaurant Week. We received so much positive feedback from businesses and residents that we are thrilled to host Queen Creek Restaurant Week for its second year, end quote. Chris Clark, president and CEO of the Queen Creek Chamber of Commerce, stated in a press release, quote, this event is a testament to the strength and diversity of our local restaurant scene, and we are grateful for the support of our participating restaurants and residents who dined out and supported those businesses. The event promotes local restaurants and gives diners the chance to discover new places to try in Queen Creek while supporting local businesses and stimulating the local economy, according to a chamber press release. As a new restaurant in the community, events like Restaurant Week are invaluable for helping us share who we are and what we serve, end quote. Marissa Michelli, co-owner of Michi Italian, stated in the release, quote, our Michi Italian team had a fantastic time meeting new guests and sharing our food, culture, and passion with them last year, end quote. Queen Creek Restaurant Week will feature a variety of special menus, pre-free meals, and discounts at participating restaurants. Restaurants can sign up to participate at https://explorequeencreek.com/Queen Creek Restaurant Week 2025/. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled A Special Tribute Given to a Special Nurse. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune June 5th, 2025 by Lynn Sue Flood, Tribune guest writer. one of the original founders of Hospice of the Valley back in 1977, recently received an extraordinary visit from the Arizona Nurse Honor Guard, an organization that honors fellow nurses who have dedicated their lives to the profession. "I am just flattered and overwhelmed," said Mary Audrey Meller, who turns 92 in July. "Hospice of the Valley has always had my heart because it's so compassionate and caring and loving." Friends and family gathered together at her home at Vi at Silverstone in Scottsdale as she received a Florence Nightingale coin symbolizing comfort, gentleness, courage, and an unwavering devotion to duty. Nurse Honor Guard volunteer Cindy Lucell then presented her with a second gift. "We have a quilt to cover you with our love and gratitude and to recognize all those patients you covered in kindness," she said. "May it bring you comfort as you gave so many others comfort." Some of Mary Audrey's former hospice colleagues were there too. Jean Marie Stockton was hired by Mary Audrey and remembers the first patient the two nurses visited together, a young woman with cancer. Mary Audrey assessed her symptoms, and when she asked about the pain, the woman just burst into tears. "What I remember most is how she stopped asking questions and just went to hug her. I was sitting across the room thinking, I know I'm in the right place to do the kind of nursing that I want to do. It's a moment I will never forget," said Jean Marie, who retired in late 2021 after 40-plus years of service. Mary Audrey was one of Hospice of the Valley's early founders. "While I had done a bit of clinical work as a nurse and noticed that people needing end-of-life care were somewhat ignored, and I thought, I want to be a part of this new hospice because it's so hands-on and you have time with the family and patient," she said, "and it appealed to me that it was not-for-profit." Her daughter, Jennifer Paradin, was brought to tears by the recognition. "That was such a great honor," she said. "My mom loves Hospice of the Valley and dedicated half her life to serving there. It truly is the center of her life. This is so amazing." That sentiment was echoed by Mary Audrey's son, Andrew. "We're really thankful that everyone took the time to come out and honor mom this way. It was the tribute of a lifetime." Lynn Sue Flood is a community engagement director at Hospice of the Valley, serving Maricopa County, Northern Pinal County, and the Tucson area. More at hov.org. End of story. Our next article is entitled, "Free Parking Getting Squeezed in Downtown Chandler." This was posted in the Santan Sun News, June 4, 2025, and written by Ken Sane. Very recently, most residents could find free and abundant parking in downtown. That is changing. More businesses are starting to turn their parking lots into paid ones. And with parking already at a premium and new developments on the way, free and abundant parking may be more difficult to find. Terry Kimball, president, CEO of the Chandler Chamber of Commerce, said these businesses aren't trying to make money. They're just trying to ensure their customers have parking, especially west of Arizona Avenue. With the continued growth downtown has experienced with the completion of the Boston Street improvements, DC Heights, the apartment building, and Maple House Coffee Shop, we've seen an increase in vehicles parked throughout the neighborhood area, said Cultural Development Director Kim Moyers. Moyers had $634,000 in her capital improvement project for next year to construct a parking lot and entrance to the Oregon Street Garage. The city purchased vacant land on California Street for that purpose. When it designed the Oregon Street parking garage, the city planned on eventually adding an entrance from the west, Moyers said. Flow Yoga and Cycle on Fry Road is believed to be the first to turn its parking lot into a paid venture. The owners said they had little choice because of the popularity of the shops at the corner of Arizona Avenue and Fry Road. Patrons were parking in their lot to go to Black Rock Coffee and other businesses, leaving no spaces for Flow customers. Now more lots like that one are showing up downtown, with Soho 63 Event Center on Boston Street the latest to convert to a paid parking lot. All the paid lots so far are on private property. The city does not charge for use of its garages. The city has three public garages downtown, Overstreet, Oregon Street, and City Hall. There are two others with limited access. The parking garage on Boston at Washington Street is tied to the Alexander Office Building, and the one behind it on Buffalo Street is tied to the Jonathan. They are unavailable during regular business hours, but available to the public otherwise. Moyer said the city wants to turn the two vacant lots it owns on California Street into a paved parking lot to add more parking specifically to the western half of downtown. It would also add the entrance to the Oregon Street garage from that parking lot. It will include safety, lighting, and perimeter walls to the neighborhoods on both the north and south side of the lot, Moyer said. Mayor Kevin Hartke said he's not sold on the need for a parking lot and not sure it will help. I realize the thought on this was to alleviate the neighbors' concerns of people parking in front of them, Hartke said. I'm not convinced that people still having to walk two blocks next to the parking garage is any different than walking to the parking garage. Councilman Matt Orlando asked if downtown is seeing an increase in overnight parking. Moyer said no. The parking that we've experienced is directly because of the migration, she said. If you go to Maple House and sit for any given time, you see cars being parked and people are walking blocks to get to it. There is more traffic coming to the area west of Arizona Avenue. Construction has started on expanding the Hilton Garden Inn at Oregon and Chicago, right next to the Oregon Street Garage. In addition, the DC Heights apartment building will enter a second phase with more units being added behind the current building. And the city has approved the Chandler Food Hall for the corner of Chicago and California. End of story. Our next article is entitled Chandler Scores Big in State Champions Night. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, June 7, 2025, and written by Alexandra Medina, contributor. It was a night of celebration, pride, and spirit at the Vista Center for the Arts on May 18th as hundreds gathered for the 2025 Arizona Interscholastic Association Night of Champions that included Basha High School and two Arizona College Prep athletes. The event honored student athletes, coaches, and programs from across the state for their excellence in sports, academics, and leadership. This night is about recognizing the full scope of what our students do, said AIA Executive Director David Hines. These kids work hard in the classroom. They're involved in multiple activities on campus, and they give so much of their time to others. They are leaders in their school and in their communities. We're incredibly proud. One of the two winners of the Student Leadership Award was Arizona College Prep softball star Shelby O'Donnell. O'Donnell was recognized for her leadership and impact on and off the field. She has become a prominent role model to her peers with her involvement and commitment, the AIA said, in awarding her a $1,000 scholarship. Basha High School won the School Spirit Award, which has become a testament to the energy, pride, and culture the students and staff have built on and off the field. A video accompanying the award celebrated the school's spirit in sports as well as academics. Brady Dilworth of Arizona College Prep was named Boy Scholar Athlete. The award honored his success as a four-sport athlete, black belt in Taekwondo, and recipient of the National Football Foundation Award. I am truly humbled and grateful to receive this honor, Dilworth said. It's a reflection of all the people who have helped me grow and succeed as I continue my athletic and academic journey playing sports in college. Dilworth also thanked his family, noting, "They were with me in the early mornings, the nights, the wins, the losses, and everything in between." The Better Business Bureau Ethical Athlete Award, which comes with a $2,500 scholarship, went to Williams Field High School cross-country star Kendall Bonjour. "When I pictured winning this award months ago, I never imagined it would mean as much as it does now," Bonjour said. "I'm beyond grateful for this opportunity to continue my education at Texas Christian University." In introducing Bonjour, BBB staff member Faustine Chan said, "As a dedicated student athlete, commitment to training has led her to winning multiple awards since her freshman year." She said Bonjour starts and finishes every race with integrity while volunteering her time to teach our youth about the importance of ethics when competing. Although she struggled with body image as an athlete, she was able to navigate this challenge through positive influences and self-discovery. Bonjour thanked her parents, saying, "They continuously encouraged me and have been there to support me throughout my entire life. My coaches also have taught me so many life lessons and helped me realize that I am capable of so much more than I thought, both on and off the track. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears have gone into my academic and athletic career," she added. Highland High cross-country coach David "Coach Monty" Montgomery was named 2025 Coach of the Year. The AIA said Montgomery's career over three decades has elevated his cross-country and track programs to models of excellence and positively influencing school culture. It stated, quote, "He inspires his athletes to engage in meaningful community service, teaching them the importance of giving back and instilling a lasting sense of citizenship. His legacy is evident in the countless athletes who credit him for shaping their character, their values, as well as an enduring respect and admiration of his colleagues and the community." It was mentioned in a letter of recommendation for this particular coach that in recent coaches development session, his peers mentioned nearly 25 character traits that set him apart as a transformational leader. His contributions have left a lasting imprint, creating a culture of excellence, integrity, and service will continue to benefit his school and its community for years to come, end quote. Montgomery graciously noted, "There are a lot of coaches who have more accolades than I ever will," and called the award unexpected. Thanking God, he gave a shout out to his wife and two Highland administrators. "She's dealt with me being gone for 36 years, late nights, early mornings," he said of his wife. "She's the real rock star. And I want to thank my athletic director, Brandon Larson, and our principal, Brian Yee. They have been tremendously supportive since they've come into Highland. They even come to the meets when it's 100 degrees. Montgomery said he has strived to have kids make every decision based on the good of the team, pushed culture and process, never talked about winning. And I can tell you, last bunch of years, we've won so many state championships, but that's not what I chased. I chased connections and relationships. Those kids inspired me to help me accountable. They were the ones that drove me." End of story. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt. I'm your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.